Amen. I'm glad that we can say we're a trophy of grace. It means grace simply means God's unmerited favor. And we certainly don't deserve His love, but He loves us. In fact, He loved us so much He gave His life for us. And what a tremendous blessing the song was this morning. Just to recognize a couple of people, it's good to see Wayne and Kim Davis here this morning. Maybe the visitors who came the farthest this morning, right? All right. Good to see you. Good to see Vicki Griffin back with us this morning after back surgery. What a blessing to see her and up and around and just almost jogging. I mean, seriously, that's amazing, doing so well. It is, again, Open House Sunday, and we are thankful for what God has done with us and through us, not only around the world, but here in our city. And we love our city. I do. I love Haslett. I think it's the second greatest city in the world, besides Bowie, Texas, where I grew up. And I had the opportunity to speak with the mayor, and he sends his regards. He wanted to be here. He is in at the Naval Academy at a reunion, 45-year reunion, but he does send his regards, and we appreciate the mayor. And it's good to have Kathy Hopper, one of our members, who's also city council. Men here with us this morning, and we appreciate her. Why don't you at least raise your hand? We won't embarrass her too much. We're glad she's here, and what a blessing they are. And we want to pray for our city, and we continue to back our city and just do all that we can to be a blessing to them. I know the mayor asked me about the city council meeting here in February or something to that effect, and our building is open to the city. Our building is open to the Haslett Sports Association and everything else here in town. We want that. We believe that we are here to minister, to reach out to our community, to be a blessing to our community. And just like our fall festival yesterday, I see many churches that use their fall festival as a way to raise money, and that's never been our intent with our festival. We spent thousands of dollars on our festival, had a great group of people here, and we made very little. But that's not our intent. In fact, that's not our intent about anything. I mean, our intent is to reach out and to minister to others and just give the grace that was given to us to show grace to others. And just what a blessing it is to be a child of God, to be a part of Heritage Baptist Church, to be the pastor of this great church. And I love it, and I appreciate and love you guys. And what a blessing it is to have so many visitors here this morning. We thank you for being here. And I tell you what, there's a few of us in here that put a lot of work into it this last week or so. And I'm just thankful that God gives us fruit for our labor. And God is good. And by the way, He's good all the time. And absolutely good. I want to, again, begin a new series of messages this morning and to correlate and go along with our theme for the year, which is Christ our all. So if you would, in your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3. We'll go back to our text for our theme this year, and we joke a little bit. Even in school growing up and being in the youth departments growing up, we used to joke all the time that if the youth pastor asks a question and you don't know the answer, just raise your hand and say Jesus and you'll always be right. And normally, a lot of the times, that is absolutely true. It's kind of like on a multiple choice, choose C or whatever it is, you know. But Jesus Christ is the answer. I wrote in the letter that many of you received this week that the gospel is the answer. Politics are not the answer. Returning the economy, whatever, those are not the answer. The answer is Jesus Christ. He is the answer. I'm glad so much that I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. Christ is our all. Look there with me in verse 10 of Colossians chapter 3 says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. And where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free," and here's our theme for the year, "but Christ is our all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Let's pray. We thank You again this morning, Lord, for the opportunity to meet in Your house, to meet around the Word of God and to feed upon Your gracious and wonderful Scriptures. We do ask that You would lead us and direct us this morning. We ask that You would just put Your Son before us in a fresh way. Lord, that each of us would see that You are the answer to all of our questions. You are the answer to all of life's needs. I pray this morning we'd be very clear. I pray for clarity of thought. Hide me behind the cross this morning. We want You, Lord, to show up and be evident this morning. We ask this in Your name. Amen. We're going to dive right into this particular scripture. And look again at verse 11. It says, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all. He's the beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. He is the beginning of all things. Christ is all. He is all. He is the beginning in the matter of salvation. And if you come to a Heritage Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, you're going to hear this message many different times, many different ways. But salvation is found in Jesus Christ. He is all in the way of salvation. Look back with me in verse 11. It says, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is neither Greek nor Jew. In other words, there is in God is no respecter of persons. And aren't you thankful for that? Because we as men, we judge mankind as people. We judge each other many times according to skin, according to we judge each other according to what we may or may not have driven to church, what we may or may not be wearing. And God's simply saying, listen, there's no Jew nor Greek. There's no country that God's saying, hey, this is my country, this is my this. In other words, God, everyone is level at the cross. Everyone is level at the foot of the cross. By the way, it's not about if you were born in a Christian home or not that saves you. Heredity doesn't save you. Religion doesn't save you. But Christ is our Savior. It's not about race. It's not about pedigree. But it's about Christ. And putting your faith and trust in Him. He goes on to say that where there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, and this would have to do with our creed. I gave you this outline at the beginning of the year. Whether there is no creed. In other words, ceremonies don't get you to heaven. Not by the blood of bullocks and goats, the book of Hebrews says. It's by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Being baptized doesn't save you. Sacraments will not save you. But Christ will. Christ is what? All. He is all. Bible says, whether it's neither barbarian nor Scythian, we think about culture. And that, again, that God is no respecter of persons. In other words, salvation doesn't simply come to the educated. Aren't you glad of that? You can be born in Bowie, Texas, and go from kindergarten all the way to high school and graduate from Bowie, Texas with the other 95 that graduated there. And you can still get saved. I got a good education. I had some good teachers. But educated or uneducated has nothing to do whether or not a person can get saved. It's amazing to me how I can sit down with a 6-year-old and talk to a 6-year-old, and they can understand the gospel. And I've sat down with 75-year-old. I've led an 80-year-old to the Lord before who accepted Christ as their Savior. And age is not a requirement here. Education is not a requirement. I'm glad that God is no respecter of persons. And He doesn't care where you come from. He doesn't care where you've been. He don't care whether you got money or you got money or you don't have money. Absolutely. I'm glad He looks on the heart. And as long as your heart is prostrate, as long as your heart bowed down to Him, we can be saved. This is a wonderful, wonderful verse, and there's really no end to it. He says, bond or free. God is not concerned with class of people. In this culture, when this was written by the Apostle Paul, it would have been Roman, whether you were a Roman citizen or a slave. God says, listen, all can be saved. Christ is all to the, again, to the rich man. God is all to the poor man. God is all to the Roman citizen. And God is all to the slave. And whether you're penniless or rich, Christ, and I in my notes I put Christ our all. But here it says Christ, what? I think that's important. I'm not going to preach on that right now. But He is all. And can I tell you whether you like it or not? Just be real honest. I told some of the ushers back there a while ago, I said the song that the ladies sang this morning, you wouldn't hear that song in just any church. That was good. But Christ is all. Then, you know, there are a lot of people out there wondering and, you know, having the conversation and talking with individuals and seeking counsel about what I should or should not do, what is right, what is wrong. And let me tell you, Christ is the answer. He is all. He is all. Not only is He all in the matter of salvation, but He's all in the matter of life. Again, by way of sacrifice on Calvary and by way of His resurrection on the third day, and by way of the, again, by way of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, we can have eternal life. We can have everlasting life. We can escape hell. We can have a home in heaven. We can have our sins forgiven. We can have our life start anew. Again, Jesus Christ is all about beginnings. He is the beginning. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we start a new life in Christ. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ gave His life for me. Not only is Christ by way of sacrifice, but Christ by way of His Word. In other words, the Word is there to guide and lead us. In fact, it says it leads us into all truth. The Holy Spirit is there to guide us. The Word of God is there to lead us and direct us. I'm glad I have a road map for my life. If I want to find out how to raise my children, I don't go to the bookstore and pull out a book written by some psychologist and find out how to raise my kids. I go to the book and find out how to raise my children. If I want to find out how to govern my finances at the home, I don't go down and get the latest self-help book, but I get out the Word of God and I learn how to control and how to rule my finances. Whatever area in life, if I want to know how to be a good husband, the Bible gives me the answer. If I know how to be a good wife, the Bible gives me the answer. If I want to know how to be a good person, the Bible gives me the answer. Christ is all, and He is the living Word. And here He has given us the written Word. I'm glad I have the Word of life, holding it in my hands. We have too much going on today in what our society of people looking for answers and coming up short. And can I tell you that you'll never come up short if you rely upon the Word of God. Christ is all. Rely upon Him. Not only is He all in the way of His sacrifice on Calvary as our only means of salvation. Let me again clarify this morning. Jesus Christ died for my sins. He was buried, and 3 days later He rose from the dead, paying for my sin debt, paying for my sins in full. He was my substitute there on the cross. He died for me. He died for my sins. Not for sins He had done, not for crimes He had committed, but He was the final sacrifice for my sins. I'm glad today that He made that sacrifice for me. He is all by way of His sacrifice. There's no longer need for sacrifices. No longer need to offer a bullock up on the altar. No longer need to bring a lamb this morning as a sacrifice unto God. Jesus Christ made the sacrifice for us, the final sacrifice for my sins, that I might have eternal life. He is my life, and He is all by way of His Word to guide me, to give me truth. By way, number three, of His example, I'm glad today that I can walk in His steps. He is my all by way of example. The old saying was, what would Jesus do? In fact, the kids used to wear bracelets saying, what would Jesus do? JD. What would Jesus do? And can I tell you, that is Christianity in a nutshell. If you just boil Christianity down, it really becomes this. Christ is all we need. If you boil it down, it's not about us, it's all about Him. If you want to find out how to please Him, simply, what would Jesus do? Jesus Christ is all by way of our example. If you think about it some more, just turn the pages in your mind and think about how Jesus lived. And we're going to show that here in just a moment. But honestly, Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is not 10 steps to heaven. It's all about Jesus Christ. There's one step. It's found in Christ. Christ is all. Christianity is not a religion. It's not a set of rules. Christianity is a relationship. Say it again. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. And that relationship is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship with Him. A loving relationship with Him. A wonderful relationship with Him that I can have. And in that, He definitely, absolutely is all. In other words, Christianity is Christ. Now, Christ is all by way of His example that He has done for us, by way of saving us. By the way, He's our example by way of elevating man to his full potential. You hear that a lot, don't you? How to reach your full potential. Can I tell you the only way you'll ever reach your full potential is in Christ? Let me say that again. Only way you'll ever reach your potential, your full potential as a human being, is in Christ. By way of His Word. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. We are complete in Him. I'm giving you a lot, but think about it just for a moment. Everything that touches our life, every relationship we have, every question we have, whether it's about how the life began, or any question you got, Christ is the answer. It's just amazing to me. Christ is all. Then it goes on to say, Christ is all and in all. So Christ is all by way of beginnings, our new life in Christ. You get the context here. He's talking about those who have accepted Christ as Savior, that they are putting off the old man, putting on the new man. So it's not saying that we are all born in Christ. Those who have accepted Christ as Savior, those who Christ is all, have experienced the grace of God, are in Him. In other words, I'm glad today that the Holy Spirit abides in me. As a Christian, as a born-again believer, He now resides in me. So this is talking about the work of grace. The work of grace, not salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification and growing and becoming more like Christ is a process. From reaching the time I'm born again, the time I accept Christ as my Savior, the time my sins are forgiven, to the time that Christ returns and takes us home to heaven, the process from that point to this point is what all Christians are going through. We never arrive. We never get to the place where we say, well, I got it down. No, you just never get it down. You constantly, the Holy Spirit is working on us. Again, in the context, we're talking about those who are saved, those who have put off the old man are now putting on that new man, that Christ dwells in them. That Christ dwells in them. Listen, Christ dwells in all believers. He said, we abide. He abides in us. I and you, you and me, we abide. He abides in us in John 14, 15, and 16. All right? So when we accept Christ our Savior, He abides in us. He comes to indwell us. And therefore, He says, put off the old man. Look at verse 9. Look back at verse 9, Colossians chapter 3. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and ye have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him and that created him. So, when a person accepts Christ as Savior, when a person trusts in Jesus Christ, they're putting off the old man and they're putting on the new man. And you think about it just like a coat, taking off that old coat, putting on a new coat, taking off the old man, putting on the new man. So, what it's saying is a difference takes place. A change takes place. At the moment of salvation, a change takes place. We become a new creature in Christ, the Bible says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There used to be a little chorus we sang in the kids' classes. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a great change since I've been born. There's been a great change. Okay. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And it's absolutely, when we accept Christ as our Savior, He comes and He dwells us. We become a new man. We become a new person in Christ. That old image was, the image of God was taken away by the sin of Adam. Again, we're not going to go back and study all this, but the image of God was taken away when Adam sinned. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, that image is put back in its place. The image of God is put back in the old man's place. The image of God is stamped again, once again, on our hearts. I become a new creature. I become a partaker of the divine nature of God. I'm not a God. He's still God, but now God dwells in me. The Holy Spirit now dwells in me. He makes a change. He makes a great change. I'm a new person. Again, the image of God is restored. Christ is in you. The image of Christ is in us. All right, look here with me again. It says, okay, God, we understand that that God is no respecter of persons, that the foot of the cross is level to all individuals who come to Him. I'm so glad of that. I know the Bible says Christ is my all when it comes to whatever circumstances I'm in, salvation, and in my life. And here it says, verse 12 says, put on, therefore, because we understand and know that we need to put off the old man, put on the new man. Because we understand that God is no respecter of persons, that salvation is found in Him. Therefore, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies. And you go on and describe for us the difference or the change that God makes in us. All right? Listen closely. We become a copy of Christ. What does the term Christian mean? Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. A lot of people out there claiming to be Christians who are not Christ-like. So what it's saying is here, since we have... Now, if I didn't have this thing in my pocket, I'd take my coat off. But you take your coat off, put on the new man, and it says when that new man is put on, that there's some changes that take place, and then it describes for us some of the changes. Certainly not all of them, but it describes many of the changes that will take place. Listen to some of these. It says, look there in verse 12 again. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy, beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, describing for us forbearing one another and forgiving one another, describing for us that Christ-likeness. Put on, it says. Now, that's something you have to do deliberately. It's a deliberate act for us to put on the new man, to put on bowels of mercy. That means simply compassion. To have compassion for others. And to have kindness, just being kind and considerate to others around us. That is Christ-likeness. Meek and humble of mind. That's Christ-likeness. Long-suffering. That's Christ-likeness. God was so long-suffering with Israel. God was so long-suffering, the Bible says, in the days of Noah. And God is so long-suffering with us. You think about the character or the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says He now abides in us. His image has been placed there. And therefore that image should come from the outside, from the inside, and show itself on the outside. When I put on that new man, the Christ-like characteristics should be seen in my life. Christ is all and in all. He is in us. And therefore, a change takes place. And there should be evidences of that. Compassion, kindness, humbleness, long-suffering. All of these should be attributes that we now possess. I'm just smiling because it's definitely addictive. But I'm smiling sarcastically. Right? These are attributes that we should possess. If we are Christians, if we are truly saved, if we truly know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and understanding and knowing that He is now in us. By the way, He hasn't said, okay, listen, you need to be kind and you need to be compassionate and whatever. Stand up, Brother Feaster, please. And you be kind. You put on that new man. He's got the new jacket on. Put on the new man and just throws you out in the world and says, all right, now get at it. That's the Old Testament, by the way. Old Testament had standards. Said this. Hang on, I'm not done. Hey. The Old Testament simply said, do this, and this, or I'll break your neck. I'm summarizing. But that's basically what God was saying. He said, if you don't do these things, I'll withhold the rain. I will not bless you. I'll send famine. I'll do these things. But in the New Testament, He said, okay, bowels of mercies, compassion, kindness, long-suffering, meekness, humble. These attributes that we should be displaying, they're not just said, okay, here they are, now go do it. No, He says, now I'm inside of you. Now I will empower you. I will empower you. Sit down now. I will empower you. I will empower you to live these out. In other words, He hasn't left us in a position where we don't have the ability or the power to display these in our own lives. We have the power to do so. It's such a difference from the Old and New Testament. I now have within me, within my life, the Lord Jesus Christ who empowers me to live out a life that is Christ-like. And that's my goal. Oh, man. Y'all know the next word is one I really like. It's one of my favorites. Verse 13, forbearing one another. Love that word. Forbearing simply, when you boil it down, means to put up with each other. You know, all of us experience that at Christmas and Easter. We put up with some of our family, right? Because we love them. Right? Thanksgiving meal, you sit down, person across the table, you may just want to, but you love them, you don't do it. Forbearing one another. We forbear each other. We put up with each other. You know, everybody has their quirks. I've got them, you've got them, we all have them. I don't see mine, you don't see yours. Other people see them. Or ask your wife, she'll know them. Forbearing one another, putting up with each other. These are attributes that we have when that new man is put on. Forgiving one another. And boy, we can spend some time on this one. Look there in verse 13 again. And forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, this will put out almost every fire in your life. It simply says, if you have some ought against someone, if you have a problem with someone, the Bible says, whether they slighted you, whether they mistreated you, whether they injured you, whatever they have done to you, you are to forgive them. Because Christ forgave you. Pastor, I just can't do that. Then you're not displaying that inner man. Pastor, I've tried. I've got this family member that, or this person or that. I can't do it. No, you can't. But the Holy Spirit inside of you can do it. You have the power within you. Not self-esteem power. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus within you. To display selflessness to those who mistreat you. To display forgiveness to those who mistreat you. It's easy. It's easy to forgive those people you like. It's easy to be kind to those who are kind to you. But the Lord's saying, hey, one of those marks of being a Christian, one of those marks of being Christ-like is to be kind to people who are not kind to you. One of the evidences that you have been born again, one of the evidences that salvation, that Christ is your all, is that you are able to turn the other cheek and to forgive those who have slighted and mistreated you. Forgive them. Evidences that Christ is in you. Jesus Christ on the cross simply said, what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's amazing the attributes and the loving kindness of our Lord. verses 14 and 15, we see the oneness, if you would, of Christians, and especially here of our Heritage Baptist Church, as we think about putting on charity. That charity means simply means love in action. It's one thing to love, it's another thing to show that love. Bond of perfectness, our completeness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, verse 15, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. We are, Heritage Baptist Church is the body of Christ. And we are one in Him. You see, the same Christ that's in me is also in you. And therefore we are one. Listen to this. Same life, same influences, same rules. That ought to help. My influences, my life, all the same as yours. Therefore, we ought to get along pretty good. Right? Amen. I'll move on. One goal. Verse 17. I'm sorry, one praise. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we have one praise. We can all, as Christians, this morning we did that. We can all sing to Him. We can delight in praising Him. We can delight as we lift our voices to Him. It should be sweet to the Christian. Again, these are attributes. These are characteristics of one who has put on the new man. Was the first of the service enjoyable to you? Was it enjoyable? I loved it. I loved it. The choir song, everything about it should be a delight. Verse 17, and we're done. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and our Father by Him. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and there's been a change that has taken place. And we evidence by way of these characteristics of having compassion and love for each other, having forbearing one another and forgiving each other, having the same rules, the same life that's inside of us, bonding us together, the same rules, the same life that bonds us together as Christians, the same praise and delight of praising the Lord bonds us, brings us together, and the same goal, and that is to glorify God. Whatever we should do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever we do, we should do for Him. Every action, every work, every step, every word, all for Him and for His glory. When you're at work, it should be for His glory. Your actions should display Him. Your words should display Him. Your life should be a manifestation of the One who indwells you. The Bible says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We represent Him. As you think about this morning, is Christ your all? Are you saved this morning? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Has there been a point in time in your life you can look back and say, at this point in my life, at the age of 13, I accepted Him as Savior. At the age of 22, I accepted Him as my Savior. And truly that Christ is my all in the area of salvation. If there's not, we would love to show you how you can know from the Word of God, not our opinion, but from the Word of God, how you can have eternal life. How you can have your sins forgiven and how you can have a home in heaven, because it's found in the Word of God. We have workers up here in just a moment. We'll start singing a song. We like to sing around here. We'll sing a song and you're welcome to come down and just take courage and step out by faith out of your seat and come down, and someone will show you from the Word of God how you can have eternal life. We think about Christ not only being our all, but in all. He's in me. If you're saved this morning, He's in you. The Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Do you know that you know that you know? If you were to die today, you'd have a home in heaven. If you don't, won't you make that right today? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Spurgeon said this. He says, we are not what we ought to be. We are not what we want to be. We are not what we shall be. But we are something very different from what we used to be. there's been a great change in my life. By the way, for the good, since I've been saved. Further illustrate this. The blind man, Jesus came to the blind man. He healed the blind man. Been blind since birth. We just preached on this here a while back. Healed the man on the Sabbath day too, so the Jewish leaders were ticked off. They approached the blind man and said, "Hey, what happened? Who healed you and what took place?" He basically said something like, "I'm not sure what all went on, but I know this Jesus Christ, what happened to me was I was blind, but now I see. I was blind. There was a great change that took place in my life. I'm telling you now, I'm absolutely telling you that if you're saved, a change will take place. And if there's not some evidences of compassion and forgiveness, and there's not some evidence of humble and meekness, if there's not some evidence of forbearing and all these things, if there's not a change in your life, the evidence, if you laid it out, would prove and suggest to you that maybe Christ isn't your all. Are you sure this morning? Do you know Him as Savior?" Let's all stand. I have a verse of invitation this morning. Again, just encourage you to make some decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hymn 167, "Just As I Am." If there's a need in your life, you come. Christian this morning, listen. Again, we're not all we should be, but there's been some great changes take place. Are you mimicking? Are you displaying the attributes of Christ in your life? If not, why don't you come down and say, "Lord, I want to display Your life and mine." If you're here this morning and you're lost, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, Christ is not your all, why don't you step out of your chair and come down. Let us show you from the Bible how you can be saved. Maybe you're here this morning looking for a church home. We'd love to have you to come be a part of our church family. We hope that you'd step out. Maybe this morning you need to be baptized. Whatever decision that needs to be made, won't you make that today? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You are our all. And Lord, that You are in us. And we pray, God, that You would help us to display You to those around us. Help us, Lord, as we sing this morning. We pray if someone's here who does not know You as Savior, we pray they would have the courage this morning to step out by faith and accept You today. We again ask for Your strength to live out the Christian life as we should. In Jesus' name.